One of the questions people have is, why do we keep praying if we know God heard us the first time? Well, because Jesus told us to pray with persistence. And it's as though you were go to a friend at midnight and be knocking on his door, and he would be in bed with his family and his kids, and he's going to say, "Go away, I'm in bed, it's late, so you know what time it is." He says, but because he continues to pound on the door and say, "Hey, man, I need help. I need something from you," you know. Eventually, he'll get up and he'll say, "What do you want?" And name it. And Jesus used that as an illustration of how we should be when we pray, that we should be persistent and consistent and don't give up. And Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint or lose heart." So God taught us that. It's a principle. You know what happens when we struggle for something spiritually, when we have to contend for something spiritually? You actually build your spiritual muscles. It strengthens you. It's a wrestling that takes place in your spirit, man, but it strengthens you. And strength is of character is a result of testings, amen, of difficulties, of overcoming situations. That's how you are developed in your character to become a steadfast individual that won't be tossed to and fro and won't be easily swayed, you know, by the enemy. So God is working. The most important part of us is that spirit, you know, the spirit man, the new man in Christ. And God is focused on that more than he is the gifts of his spirit, you know. But the gifts are a benefit that God has given to us. And it's important that we're also available for God to use at any time. We never know when the opportunity arises. You know, be looking for an opportunity. It's sometimes a good way to even get into somebody's life is to pray for somebody and watch God heal that person. And then the door's opened and they may want to know more about you, Jesus. You know, Jesus, in some cases, he healed first and then people wanted to be with him. Did you know that? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so Jesus went out and he demonstrated the love of the Father in tangible ways. And so God calls us to do the same thing. In his name, not to make a show for ourselves, but to bring glory to him and to show the world that Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. He's overcome the grave and sickness and death. He is the Lord. Amen. So we can bear witness to the fact that he is risen through our witness, not only with word, but also in deed and action and what we actually do. We're called to do the work. Amen. Not just be hearers only, but to do the work. So I want to continue to talk about prayer, and tonight I'm going to call it effective prayer. I know there's not a person here that does not want their prayers answered. I don't even have to ask that question. Everybody's like, yes, I want to know that God is hearing me and that God is going to answer my prayers. And so God has given us some principles here in his word that will help us understand how we can get into position, okay, for God to hear, receive, and answer our prayers. Hear, receive, and answer our prayers. You have to get into position for that to happen. There's some things that have to get taken care of before God will listen, receive, and answer prayer. So I'm going to list them out. So you might want to write these down. And when you write them down, check yourself out. The Bible says to examine yourself whether you're in the faith or not. I have to examine myself too. Amen? And so we examine ourselves based upon what God said. And you know, God does not lie. Would you agree? If God said it, that settles it. It proves, you know, God is trustworthy. He can be depended upon because he loves us. In fact, he loves us more than we realize, more than we can fathom. So number one, very important, is when we pray, we must pray according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Now, question is, how do we know what the will of God is? His word reveals his will. Amen? The word of God reveals the will of God. So if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Praying according to the will of God. Now, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the one who searches, hear me, the heart of God, searches the mind of the Father, and He reveals to us what the Father's will is. Amen? We have the general revelation that's written in this book, but then we have very specific things that we deal with every day that we need guidance in. We need to hear from God. We need to know what God is saying. God, is this the right decision or is that the wrong decision? You know, and so the Spirit of God seeks out the heart or the will and the purpose of God because they're in unity, complete unity. So you can't know God's heart, God's mind, God's will, except by the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, then we have what's called the mind of Christ. That we may know the things that are freely given to us. How? Through the Spirit. Now, when we grieve the Spirit, if you're born of Him, you all also know that, don't you? When you grieve the Spirit, you sense that. That I just said something I shouldn't have, or thought something I shouldn't have, or did something I shouldn't have. There's a grieving in your spirit, man. Okay? But when you please the Lord, you'll also know that because the Lord will be smiling on the inside. Amen? And when you've done something and you know you've been in the will of God, there's life in that. There's joy in that. There's peace in that. There's the fruit of His presence manifesting in us because He's saying, well done. I approve of what you just did because I approve this message. Why? Because God is the one who's given the message. And we are agreeing with the Father's heart and His will. And when we pray and ask according to that revelation of what God's will and purpose is, It's not an if. It's an absolute yes. When you pray according to the Father's will, your prayer will be answered, period. Sometimes we're not actually praying for the will of God, but we think it's the will of God. But when you pray according to the will of God, it will be yes. Why? Because God has placed us here as a priesthood. To intercede, amen? To call heaven into the earth realm. His will, His purpose is to be accomplished in the earth realm through you and I. So when we're in agreement and in alignment with the will of God in heaven, and we begin to speak those things or declare those things or begin to call those things in that are according to His plan in heaven, guess what? It is a yes and an amen. It's not a maybe. It's going to happen. So it's no different than if we pray for people and we know because God revealed through word of knowledge that this is His will for us to pray for a person. There's times when you'll just have a no in your knower that God's going to answer this prayer because it was the will of God. So when you prayed that prayer, it was an absolute yes. And there's other times when we prayed and it wasn't actually the will of God. Now, I don't want to get into the deep theology about this, but folks, it's not God's will in every case, in every situation, to heal a person, at least not in the sense that we think of it. Because there are times and there are seasons in everyone's life. There are times that we need to go through something because God wants to develop character in us. And if God bails us out, every time it gets a little bit uncomfortable, we're not going to grow strong in the Spirit. We're going to be wimps. Amen? And let's face it, much of the church in America is wimpy because we don't have the strength that comes through the development that comes through the Spirit of God ministering to us in our time of need. When we are desperate and we're crying out to God or we're wrestling through the night over something or some situation that you're facing, it develops you spiritually. It creates in you a steadfastness that you can't get any other way except through adversity. Adversity is actually good for us. We don't like it, but it's the only way for you and I to become strong in Him is to know that we don't have the strength to overcome this battle. And therefore, I am seeking God and seeking His face and seeking His strength to overcome in this situation. And then we become strong. But if everything is always handed to us, it's no different than kids that become spoiled, right? Because everything is always handed to them. They never have to work for anything. They don't appreciate anything because they never had to work for it. You know what I'm talking about? If you've had to contend for something in prayer, and maybe it's been a long time, long season, maybe years, and finally the answer comes, boy, that blessing is enhanced because you had to wait for that. And you sure appreciate it a whole lot more than if it was every time I ask, I always get what I want. Meh, meh, meh. I mean, isn't it true? We've seen kids, I don't know if you were one of them, but kids that grow up and they've always had everything handed to them. They don't appreciate it, you know. But we appreciate something that we've had to contend for or work for, in the sense that in the spirit realm, there's no work, really. Amen? It's simply agreeing with the Spirit, agreeing with the Father. And prayer, in a sense, is laborious. Let's face it. You have to labor in prayer. But what I mean by that is that it's not by human effort or human ability that your prayers are answered. You can scream and cry and get loud, or you can whisper a prayer. But if it's in agreement with God's will, it's going to happen. You ever had a thought prayer that God answered? Another time, I like to scream, but, you know, sometimes I just get loud because sometimes that helps my faith. Or if I'm mad at the devil, I'll get loud too, you know. But it builds us up internally. Understanding the will of God. Number two, effective prayer. The name of Jesus. The name above every name. John 14:12. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And because he went to the Father, he received the Holy Spirit, and he's poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. So there are many that are doing the works that Jesus did. Amen? There's much more, many more of us. And we are continuing to do what Jesus began to do. Okay, so then he said in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we need to pray in the name of Jesus. When you pray to God, you need to identify who you're praying to. A lot of people use the word God generically. And to many people, God means a whole different thing, amen, than what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about the Creator, the Father, the living God, amen. And he and the Father were one, he said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. It's a mystery. There is a triune God that we serve. He is three in one. But he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. Why? Because Jesus came to reveal what God the Father was really like. Amen? They had a theological concept of God. They thought they knew what God was really like, based upon the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, you know. But when Jesus came, he said, this is what God's really like. You've heard it said, but I'm telling you, this is the way it is. Amen? So if you want to know the will of God, you got to know the mind, the heart of God revealed through the Spirit. And secondly, you need to pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, the condition is this. Write this down. The condition, when we ask according to his will in the name of Jesus, there's also a condition in John chapter 15, verse 7. Everybody say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That word abide means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. To stay in a state of expectancy, to continue, to dwell, to endure. It also means to endure, to be present. In other words, to remain connected to Jesus. If you are abiding in him, staying in a place with him, in a relationship with him, then when you ask and you pray, and according to the will of the Father, you will be heard. Is that making sense? It also means to stand or to tarry. So if we remain in right standing with the Lord, we walk with him in a relationship, then we have authority, because authority is granted to those who can be trusted. Authority is granted to those who can be trusted. And how do we learn? How are we trusted? We are trusted because God has allowed us to go through testing, and God has seen that we are faithful people, that we will be entrusted and would be able to be entrusted with the greater riches of the kingdom. And so God will allow little things, little tests, even every day, amen, so that through that we can be proven that we can be trustworthy to be entrusted with greater riches, which are the spiritual riches of his kingdom. God wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey. That means we're in agreement, right? We say, Lord, okay, I'm done with my way. I'm towing the line here with you, Lord. Show me the way. Show me what to do, Jesus. I'm listening. Why? I don't want my prayers hindered. I want God, amen, and I to be tight, amen. So when I need help, I say, Jesus, and he's there. You know what I'm saying? Who are you? Amen. Jesus said the day's going to come when people are going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he's going to say, who are you? Depart from me. You know what? If the devil knows who you are, you can bet that God knows who you are. If you're messing him up, if you're making him mad, you can know that God is also watching. Amen. When we are actually called, folks, not to join hands with the devil, but to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And we got to destroy those works in our own lives by turning away from ourselves, by denying ourselves and following Jesus. That's it. Every day, say no to flesh, yes to the Spirit. No to the flesh, yes to the Spirit. No to the flesh and yes to the Spirit means I'm walking in life. I'm abiding in him. I'm continuing in him. Okay? So abiding is in. Number three, another way that we're going to enter into effective ministry is, of course, we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Amen? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is number three. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Oh, thank God. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I've really wrestled over this one, over groanings that cannot be uttered. And there's people that will groan in prayer, and there's times when we groan in prayer, but it's actually an uttered groan. So it's not talking about something audible, folks. It's talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is there actually helping us even when we're not aware of it. Aren't you glad? And the Spirit actually is interceding. He's helping us through this process. He sustains us in our weaknesses. You know, because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. And let's face it, we pray selfishly often. We pray ignorantly. And we also pray narrowly. You know, we're looking at this little thing right here, and God says, hey, open your eyes. There's a much bigger picture here. And sometimes we're praying narrowly. Or we have dwarfed goals. You know what I'm saying? Just small goals. God is a mighty God. Amen? And God wants to use every one of us mightily. And so we have to get our eyes off just our own infirmities, our own inabilities, our own weaknesses, and realize that it's not by me anyways. It's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord that I'm able to accomplish the will of God. So we don't want to pray selfishly. In other words, I'm just asking God, God, give me the money, give me the car, give me the boat, give me the nice house, give me. No, he's not going to give you stuff, listen, just so you can please your flesh and neglect the greater things of the kingdom. Now, there are those who are actually receiving blessings from the devil in this world. They get rich. The devil will make you rich, but he'll take your soul to hell. It'll only be for a short season. You'll be rich. You'll have all the sex you want, whatever it is that you're desiring, and your flesh, but he'll take you to hell as a result. He said, there's going to be your payday. Okay, we'll strike a deal here, and many are doing that. You know that. Many in Hollywood are doing that. I say this a lot, but there's many people in high positions in this world have sold themselves out so that they could have power, wealth, influence, notoriety, the accolades of men, you know, and they'd get their reward. But they'll pay eternally for it. So we don't want to pray selfishly. We want to pray according to what God's will is. Now, who is our example? Amen. What did Jesus do? How did he Jesus didn't go around saying, God, I'd really like a Big Mac and an order of fries, and unless that was his will. You understand? God sometimes will give us good things. Amen. I don't know if that's a good thing, but he'll give us good things. Because he's a good father and he loves his kids. But if it's not good for us, he's not going to do it. Now, we can do things for ourselves without acknowledging him. We can bless ourselves and we can live selfishly. And then we can come to God and ask God for all the stuff. But, you know, he knows what's best because he's wise. And he knows that for some of us, not all of us, for some of us, to have wealth could mean your destruction. Why? Because you wouldn't feel that you have need of God anymore. And you will begin to worship yourself and your position in life, maybe, and your stuff. Yeah. So, thank God, wherever you find yourself, if you find yourself in, you know, in just maybe a humble situation right now, what God is saying is, listen, find your contentment in me. Wherever you are, Paul had to learn that lesson. Even in jail, he learned how to be content in the Lord. Amen? Find your contentment first in the Lord. And if you can be content with little, amen, then maybe you can be content with more and be trusted with more to not be selfish and spend it all on yourself, but to be a giver. Amen? God will give because he wants us to give. Amen. Not just to spend it all on ourselves. That's what James is talking about. He says, when you ask amiss, you ask for the wrong reasons, you know, that you may spend it upon your lusts. So, okay. But here it talks about groanings. Another word for that is sigh. It's like a sigh. And the Spirit sighs through us. And it is the Spirit who's groaning and not we who groan. So sometimes the most spiritual prayer, folks, is something that we're not even hearing. I mean, some of us are good prayers, you know. I don't consider myself a good prayer. You know what I'm saying? Some people are just, they're really fancy when they pray. And, you know, that could be very much inspired of God. But in some cases, it's not. They're just good with gab. Been in some prayer meetings where somebody goes on and on and on and on. And there's they ain't getting past the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? I think I prayed a few of those myself. You know, they sounded fancy. It sounded spiritual. But if it wasn't in the will of God, if it was in the heart and the mind of God, it's not going anywhere. You're just spinning your wheels. And yet, we were talking about Mary Lou. When she'd come to prayer meeting, she'd sit here and just, Father, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving me and taking care of me all these years and always being there for us when we've needed you. Oh, you know, that's just blessing the Father's heart because it's right in line with the heart of God. So I'm not saying that fancy prayers are not spiritual. They can be. But sometimes the prayer that you're not even hearing is the most spiritual. Amen. It's all about finding out what is the will of God and praying in agreement with the will of God. And then you'll see heaven invade earth. James 1:5 says this, if you lack wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So number 4 is obvious one, right? Faith of the heart. You've got to pray a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is simply you and I accepting as a fact that which we cannot see, feel. Amen? It's believing in my heart that it is already accomplished before I've actually seen it happen. Does that make sense? Believing that it is already a fact. I just don't see it yet. So when we're praying and we're persisting in prayer and we're consistent in prayer, we're saying that it's just a matter of time. And what I'm asking for, if it's the will of God, is going to happen. But even sometimes, folks, the will of God, amen, is a season. Remember when Daniel prayed for 21 days. The first day that he had set his heart to seek the Lord, the angel told him what? That the prayer was already on its way. And there was a delay. There was a war going on in the heavens. The prince of Persia was resisting. But that answer was already on its way. The first day that he had his heart in the right place when he had been in agreement with the will of the Father. So in that case, it was according to the will of God, but it was delayed for 21 days. Ever thought about that, right? Okay, now I'm going to give you a couple examples of hindrances to prayer. We have already talked about the first one. It's called selfishness. Don't be selfish when you pray. Pray for others. Amen. Pray for the will of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. Put Him first. And then God will take care of what you need. And this is where we're talking about in James 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And listen to what he says in the next verse, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Friendship with the world means you make yourself an enemy of God, is what it means. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. How many believe that is the word of God? How many believe the Holy Spirit means what he's saying here? What does it mean to be a friend of the world? It means to be a friend of the things and the ways that are opposed to God's will and ways. It means that we are enjoying the things that God disapproves of. Do we find pleasure in the things that God disapproves of? That's what it means to be a friend of this world. There are people who are more concerned, hear me, about the Seahawks than the kingdom. They will skip church to watch. You can record it. I hope I don't get anybody mad, but if I do, oh well. But folks, seriously, this is serious business. The Seahawks is the world. It is the world. It's the things of this world. I'm not saying it's a sin to watch the Seahawks. What I'm saying is that we cannot be a friend of the system of this world that is totally bent on to diverting people's attention away from the weightier matters of the heart, the issues of their heart, and putting them on temporary, fleeting things or vanity. You know, vanity is the opening door to every kind of vice. Once we start spending ourselves on things that are non-productive, then it opens the door to all kinds of other distractions and all kinds of other things that are non-productive. They may not even be a sin in of themselves, but if we are prioritizing these things above the will of God, we are idolaters. And that's what he's saying. If you're doing that, you're an adulterer and you're adulteress. You're actually committing spiritual adultery. When you prioritize the things of this temporary world where Satan is the little g, the little god of this world, if that is your greatest desire and not Jesus Christ, then you're an idolater. I'm sorry, but that's the word of God. When Jesus broke through the veil of my heart, I was wrapped up in the world as far as you can go. You know, everything I was involved, just about everything I'd tried and done, a lot of stuff, you know. And but when Jesus Christ broke through the veil of my heart and he came into my life and he opened my eyes, I then suddenly began to see things from a different perspective. I then began to realize that these things that I was spending myself on, wasting my life on, were nothing but vanity. And it always left me empty. It always required more than I got out of it. The pleasure I got out of it always cost me more in the end. And I can't love this world anymore. I hate this world. I hate the system of this world that's in rebellion to God. There's a lot of good things in this world. Amen? And God has made everything that we see. I'm not talking about the earth and the creation. We're talking about that system that's in place, that's in complete rebellion to all that is good and all that God approves of. Amen? They want to shut down the church. They want to shut down the voice of God. They want to get rid of the Bible. Why? Because it's exposing the things of the world, and Satan is the one running the show. Now, when Jesus rose and he ascended, he says, all authority, not just some, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He is Lord of all. He has all authority, folks. But for a season, the enemy is still running loose. Would you agree? And it's only for a season. And what God is doing is God is reaping a harvest of those who really love him and those who do not. There's going to be a separation between the sheep and the goats, the good fish and the bad fish. Amen. The wheat and the tares. Tares are just look alike, you know, wheat, but it's not real wheat. Doesn't produce fruit. God's going to separate that. But we have to be tested. Amen. To prove, to see who are those who are his and those who are not his. Would you agree? Love has to be tested. If you're in love with somebody, that relationship would be tested, wouldn't it? I mean, if you really love somebody, you're going to guard that relationship jealously. God loves us jealously. If you love somebody, amen, and you really love that person, you're not going to go out and cheat on them. Why? Because you're considering their feelings. How it would affect them, because you care more about them than you do your own lusts. Amen? So it is in the Spirit. Do we love God more? Do we love Him more than this world? Are we willing to forsake it all to follow Jesus? Are we willing to go all the way with Him? What if Jesus says, I want you, like he told a friend of mine, I want you to give everything away. I've shared this with you, some of you before. I want you to give all your property, all your belongings away to your kids. I want you to pack 2 duffel bags. And I want you to move to Tacoma, Washington from Alabama. And I want you to camp out on the street. And I want you to be a prophet to the homeless. Now, how many are saying, oh, that can't be God? Folks, I'm telling you, where your treasure is, amen, there's your heart. If your heart is really with Jesus, then the things of this world will never come between you and God. You're willing to do whatever, even if it means your life. If we really love Jesus, we're willing to go all the way. Are we willing here tonight to die for Jesus? To go all the way for Jesus? Do we love Him that much? Do we love Him more than these? God will not grant us a request that exalts the flesh. Number 2, hindrance to prayer is secret sin. Secret sin. Psalm 66:18. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Sometimes the reason why our prayers aren't answered is because of this very thing. Because God is trying to deal with us about a situation or a sin in our lives, but we don't want to give it up. So until we're ready to get, amen, in compliance with the Lord, you can just keep on, your prayers will just keep hitting the ceiling. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to know that God's hearing my prayers. I'm toeing the line, Lord. I'm standing at attention. I'm like, Lord, you show me if there's anything in me, any wicked way in me, anything that I haven't repented of, that I haven't dealt with, Lord, just get it out of me, God. I don't want it. I don't want anything to hinder me in my walk with you, in my relationship with you, and certainly in my prayers. Amen? In the New Living Translation, it says it this way, Psalm 66:18, if I had not confessed the sin of my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now look at this one in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. How many know what that's like? How many here tonight can say that I have a clear conscience? My conscience is clear. Yeah? Can you say that? No? How many would like to have a clear conscience? Would you like to have your conscience clear? Yeah. I mean, right? It's a rational thing to want to have a clear conscience. Because if your conscience bothers you, it's like tormenting you, isn't it? It just eats away at you. It's like cancer to your soul. And God says, I don't want you to live with that anymore. I don't want you to live with guilt or shame. Amen? That's why he shed his blood for us. The blood of Christ will sprinkle your conscience so that it'll be clean again. It'll be pure. It'll be reliable even. Do you understand? Sometimes our conscience can be unreliable because we've seared it so many times. We've grieved the Spirit and then we've become calloused. And the things that used to grieve us, you know, don't anymore. And the things that used to embarrass us don't anymore. You know? And so God says you need the blood applied to your heart so that your conscience can be cleared. And then you can come with confidence before your God. When we have a clear conscience, it produces confidence in prayer. Would you agree? Folks, just sometimes I have to deal with it myself. You know, I have to deal with a conscience that's bothering me. And so I just pray about that first. I confess it, Lord, if there's anything. Sometimes it's stuff I don't even realize. I just confess it to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me from any sin. If there's any sin, and clear my conscience right now. And so that I can come confidently before him and in faith, through assurance of faith, knowing that God's going to hear me. Why? Because there's no sin coming in between us. Amen? The third one is unbelief. First one was selfishness, second was secret sin, and the third is unbelief. This is a hindrance. Hebrews 11:6, we know this so well. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith, how do we get faith? Comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now, I want to take just a moment on that because God's voice produces confidence. God's voice produces faith. Amen? You can quote scripture and it would not have the effect of producing faith unless it is delivered by the Spirit. If the Spirit is speaking a word to you, it will be life-giving, and it will produce faith of the heart. God speaks to you and says, I've promised this to you, to give you this, for example. Faith of the heart then arises. Why? Because it wasn't just some parking lot prophet that wanted to tell you things that they thought you'd like to hear, and they call themselves prophet. Come on, there's a lot of phonies out there, man, claiming to be prophets. But when it's a true word from the Lord, it will only confirm what God has already spoken to you about. It'll be a confirmation to that. And then when it is the word from God, it will be life-giving. It will produce faith. That means a confidence that God has spoken. I know it's from him. And therefore, when I pray in agreement with what God has said, it will come to pass. You get that, right? We know this. Some of this is just, we're rehashing, we're revisiting because we need to keep looking in the mirror. We need to stay in the Word. We need to understand these things. Okay. Number four, we're almost through. An unforgiving spirit. Unforgiveness. You want your prayers answered, right? Get rid of selfishness, secret sin, unbelief, and unforgiveness. We say, well, you don't know what they did to me. I refuse to forgive them. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Wait a minute. Who here deserves God's forgiveness? No. Jesus didn't deserve to die. Amen? He was an innocent man. And he didn't deserve to die, but he died for us. He laid his life down willingly for us. And he was willing to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. I'm canceling the debt that they owe me. Now Jesus says, now you go and do likewise. When somebody offends you, or they step on your toes, or they hurt you in your life, you do the same thing. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to continue to fester in that thing, and you're going to open a door for the demons to come in and torment you. And it's going to hinder your prayers. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. That's why, even when I don't like what people have done to me, it wasn't fair what they did to me, I have to look at the cross and remember what Jesus did for me on my behalf and say, as Jesus did to me, so I'm going to do to my brother and my sister. Amen. Whether or not they deserve it, that's what grace is. Amen. It's undeserved. So they don't deserve it, no. But I'm choosing also to let myself off the hook and get freed from them so they're not controlling me. Unforgiveness is, like you've heard it said, Joyce Meyer said, it's like drinking poison and expecting it to kill the other person. And she asked it. So if you forgive others, then your Father in heaven will forgive you. That's what Jesus taught us. All right, so we want to get our prayers answered here, amen? So we just got to get in compliance. And that's what Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. He said in verse 26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And how many know that you will not be able to stand in the judgment without forgiveness? It's not something to toy with. It's serious business. It's not something to wait on in one of these days when I feel like it, I'm going to forgive this person. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God has given you an opportunity to repent. Amen, and get it right. Fifthly, this is the final one, is impatience. Is a hindrance too. When we pray, it's three things. I want you to write them down. One is ask, first of all, right? And then once you ask, it's three things. It's yes, no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. Yes and wait are the will of God. No is not the will of God. Amen? So when you ask, you have to. It's either a yes or a no, or you're going to have to wait on it. Now, Abraham prevailed because he believed, right? He didn't waver at the promise of God. When he heard the word of the Lord, it produced faith in his heart, and he camped on it. He didn't let it go. He continued to believe God that if God promised something, he's going to keep it because he's not a liar. God never lies. If God gives you a word, it is truly from him. It is absolutely a yes. If you pray according to the will of God, it is absolutely yes. Not maybe. Romans 4:20 says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That word waver means to withdraw from. He didn't withdraw from the Lord. He didn't doubt or oppose what God had to say. And I'm going to finish with this. Sometimes we don't know how God is going to do it. But just because we don't know how he's going to do it doesn't mean that we don't believe that he will, right? We got to believe if it's God's will, he's going to do it. How? We don't know. And this is it. Believing God is the most reasonable thing to do. Even though at times it defies our human reasoning. Believing God is the most reasonable thing for us to do, even though at times it defies our own reasoning. I can't figure it out. I can't. How many know God's bigger than your mind? He's bigger than your intellect, your ability to comprehend. So I can't wrap myself around everything that God says. But I still believe. And if I don't understand, I believe his heart. I trust his heart. Things happen to you that don't seem to be fair. And the devil just wants to get you mad at God. He wants you to be mad at the one who laid his life down for you. That's how much he loved you. He's the one that caused the problem, caused the stumble, caused the person, because they yielded to him, to make the mistake. And then he turns around and he tries to label God as the culprit and get you offended at God. If you're offended with God, guess what? You're not going to be in a position to have your prayers answered. Amen. When we come to God, we need to come with him with confidence. Come with him to him with thanksgiving in their hearts. Amen. Thank you, Father, for that. We love you, Jesus.